So quickly, our last time, you know, that we know when our sins forgiven when we are baptized. All our sins, all the punishment of sin forgiven when we are baptized. But now God give us another, you can say a bit like a second baptism, which is the sacraments of penance, the sacraments of confession. And so the sacraments of confession take away the sin that we commit after baptism. So when we and then only God can forgive sin, and God gives the authority to priests to forgive sin on earth. Just like, you know, we cannot baptize ourselves. So we need someone to baptize us. So when we commit big sin, we cannot forgive ourselves. We need to go to the priest for confession. Of course, even before we are baptized or before we confess, we can always tell God that we are sorry. We can make the perfect act of contrition. We can ask Him for forgiveness. But it's necessary for our salvation. When there's any big sin, we need to be forgiven in the sacrament. After baptism, we need to go to confession when you have any serious sin. But even if there's no serious sin, it's always good to confess regularly, just the small sin. Because confession not only gives us forgiveness, confession also gives us grace. Because confession, when we go to confession, we encounter Jesus. As I mentioned last Sunday at the Mass, that when Jesus tossing for sinner, when we go to confession, Jesus is there to forgive us. And also when we go to confession, the blood and water from the heart of Jesus ennoble our soul. And the water from the heart of Jesus wash our sin. And so we go to confession. And the five steps for confession, remember, the first step is to examine our conscience, that we remember what we have done wrong based on our memory. But also you can use the Ten Commandments to help you. Remember the examination of conscience that I give you, right? It's something that you can use based on the Ten Commandments. And then also based on your duties, the duties that you have so that you can confess your sin. Now, for those who just become Catholic, to remind you, you have a duties, that your duty, of course, is a serious duty, is to go to church every weekend, right? Remember that. So if you miss church through your own fault, then you should not go to communion yet. You should go to confession, ASAP, before you go to Holy Communion again. You might get a blessing, but if you know you miss Mass through your own fault, then don't go to communion. Go to confession first, because that's a serious sin. It's a serious obligation. When we are baptized, when we become Catholic, that we have a serious obligation to go to Mass every weekend. It's something that we should not take that lightly or dispense ourselves lightly. So really important when we examine ourselves before you become Catholic, you know, it might not be as a serious obligation, but now you are Catholic, that become a serious obligation, that really important not to miss that one. And then another one I would say is also important is the duty to pray every day. But you know, that one would be like, it's a bit like if you skip breakfast, I don't think it's a sin. If you skip breakfast and lunch, maybe not even that. But if you skip all three meals and then another three meals again, I think that becomes sinful, because you're really risking your health. And so I think it's a bit like that in prayer too. It's good that we should do our best not to skip prayer. Sometimes it may be so chaotic, the children running around, you know, and so you might be not be able to get your prayer done, you know, once in a while. But, you know, but I think the important thing is that don't omit prayer for a long period of time. It's just like if you don't eat for a long period of time, that of course really danger for your health. And so for the spiritual life also, we should not delay or put up our prayer for a long time. That's also really important. So it's always good that we have some set time to pray every day, like morning, evening, that we do have regular prayer every day. And then make use of rosary, divine mercy, chaplet, things like that, really helpful for our prayer life. So examine our conscience based on the Ten Commandments, you know, our duties. Sometimes, of course, first of all, as a Catholic, but also your duty at home, your duty at work, you know, those are important areas to look into. Because oftentimes, those are the three areas that we are most responsible, right? As a Catholic, what our duty as Catholic, our duty as in our family at home, and our duty at our workplace if you are working. Okay? Now, and then after we examine our conscience, just to know about our sin is not enough. You can know your sin, you can tell your sin, you know, but if you're not sorry, it's no use, right? So you know your sin, you tell your sin, but it's with sorrow. So the second step of confession is we must be sorry for our sin. And then we mentioned already last time, sorrow for our sin is not just lip service, but must be from the heart. Must be because of faith that we are sad that we offend God, but also we are fear of losing heaven. And then also, of course, it should cover all mortal sin. And then also, we should see mortal sin as a big evil. So we should be sorry for our sin. And then if you have no big sin, only small sin, do your best to be sorry for them too, especially the more prominent one. We all have some prominent faults and imperfection or sin. We all have one or two that is more prominent. For some, it can be laziness. For some, it can be being grumpy all the time. For some, it can be, you know, using in a bad manner, you know, being rude in word, you know. So it can be, we all have a one or two prominent faults, you know. We just have to be honest to find that out, you know. So, and then, contrition, sorrow for sin, cannot be separate from the third step of confession, which is purpose of amendment, that we resolve not to do it again. We resolve not to do it again. So we should avoid not only the sin, but also whatever that lead us to sin. So that's what we do, you know. We are sorry for our sin. But if you say you are sorry, you know, I think we mentioned last time the story that two young men have drinking problem, right? One know how to avoid altogether, huh? When they see the bar avoid. The other say, I just go in, but I won't drink. So he went in. And then when he got the cup, he say, okay, I just drink a little bit, not much. And then eventually, soon enough, he will get back to drinking again. So you have to really avoid the place, the people, the things that may lead to sin. So that's called the purpose of amendment. Resolve not to do it again. You know, take concrete step, you know. If your downfall is to miss Mass on Sunday, you know, then you have to look up, okay, where can I go to Mass? Saturday, okay, Sunday, or okay, Precious Blood have no Sunday evening Mass, what church has Sunday evening Mass so I can go to? It's always important that you take concrete step, you know, to actually change the situation. Okay, now today we are talking about step number 4 of the sacraments of confession. Page 310, 310. So confession is that we confess to an authorized priest for the purpose of obtaining forgiveness. Now, when we go to confession, our confession should be humble. So we are really sorry, you know, when we confess our sin, we are humble. Here an example, you know, one who continued to interrupt the priest with, but you do not know me, Father. I'm not like that. That's not humble, right? You're going to question and say, okay, I have sinned, I'm a sinner. You don't go there and say, oh, I don't quite know what sin do I have. You know, I don't think I have seen, you know. I'm pretty good, you know. I almost want to say, for your penance, you know, take down the Immaculate Conception statue and you stand there for a while. You know, Immaculate Conception means at least no sin, you know. So you have no sin, you know. You can stand there, you are the statue. So anyhow, we have to be humble in our confession. Sincere, to tell our sin honestly, you know, don't hide, don't give excuse. And then another one is that when we go to confession, our confession should be entire, all our serious sin must be confessed with sorrow. All the serious sin. Don't omit a single serious one. And then also, of course, we should also mention to the best of our ability how many times that actually happened or how frequent that happened if it is serious sin. And then also we have to mention any circumstance that can change the nature of the sin. I mentioned that before, you know, if you punch somebody, you punch a priest, it's more sinful, you know. And then also if you punch your parents, more sinful, right? If you steal, you steal from the church, it's more sinful, right? That changed the nature. If you lie, it's bad. If you lie under oath, that become more sinful. Or if you lie to cause great harm for another person, that become more sinful. So the circumstance can change the oneness of the sin, make that more serious. So in that situation, need to specify the circumstance. Ordinarily speaking, you only have to mention what you have done wrong. Circumstance like the how, the who, the when, and the where, you don't have to mention. But only with those circumstances will change the oneness of the sin to make that more guilty. You know, like if you lie under oath, you sin not only against the 8th commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness, it's also against the 2nd commandment, take the Lord's name in vain by making a false oath. If you steal from the church, not only the 7th commandment, thou shalt not steal, but also the 1st commandment to honor God is commit a sin of sacrilege. And then also the same thing about punching a priest, you know, it's not only the 5th commandment, but also the 1st commandment, or punching your parent, not only the 5th, but also the 4th commandment. You know, honor your parents. So it makes sense, right? So that the circumstance make you commit more than one commandment, or make the sin more serious. Okay, so we have to confess all mortal sin, and then also, if somebody knowingly hiding a mortal sin in confession, that person doesn't make a good confession. That person have to confess all the mortal sin since the last good confession. Because none of the sin have been forgiven since the last good confession, and then also to confess the fact that the person make a bad confession, because that's an additional big sin to do so. Confession is something holy, so we shouldn't be purposely hiding big sin in confession. But let's say somebody, which can happen, is somebody have no intention to hide any big sin. He just forgot. You know, he tried his best to confess all the sin that he remembered. He forgot one or two big sin. Let's say if you confessing for the sin for your past 40 years, you know, 40 years old, 40 years, you know, and then you might forget one or two, it's really, really easy, right? Or somebody has to confess 50, 60 years, right? You might forget one or two really easy, you know. So then what you do, you've confessed that the next time, you know, because so big sin, we should submit that directly in confession for forgiveness. But if you have no intention to hide, you just forget. You make a good confession. So, but when the priest give absolution, when the grace of God come to your soul, those things that you forget also indirectly forgiven already. But because we have the obligation to submit them directly to God in confession for any mortal sin, right? So we will do that the next time we go to confession. Make sense? Yeah. Okay. And then, to make a good confession, so in page 312, so we should take time to examine ourselves, and then also we should try to, in our heart, really try to make a perfect act of contrition, really firmly resolve to do our best not to sin again. Because don't forget, it's not enough we just remember our sin. It's even more important that we are sorry for them and make up our mind not to sin again. So don't forget that. You know, quite often we may be a bit nervous in our first confession. We may be thinking about how can I do it right. You know, more important is in your heart that you want to be sorry, that you want to not to do it again. And then, of course, when you confess your sin, you do that to your best of your ability. But what is, you know, you do your best, of course, to confess all your mortal sin. But what is more important is that you truly sorry for all your mortal sin. That's even more important. Both are really important, but what is even more important is that we are truly sorry for all of them. So,
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why is there a delineation between taking $5 from a rich father as venial sin, but a beggar becomes mortal?
Because I think it's also have to do with the consequence, right? Because for the beggar, you know, the amount, even though for us it's small, for the beggar it's big, you know. So the livelihood of the beggar, you know, the beggar will have suffered much more because of the loss of the money. And then the rich, a rich person, to lose a small amount, you know, is the consequence is really small. So there are some sin, the nature itself, there are some sin by itself is always serious when you do it knowingly and willingly, like taking false oath, like impure sin, you know, those are always serious sin. But there are some sin, or like killing people, you know, things like that. But there are some sin, they are serious or not serious, really depends on the seriousness. Like it can be lying, you know, normally lying is a small sin. But if that's caused a great harm to people, or is that dishonor God, like false under oath, you take a false oath, or you deny that you are Catholic, that becomes a serious sin. So lying can be serious or not serious, but most of the time it's not serious. It's just some white lie or stuff like that. Stealing is a bit similar. Stealing, it can be serious or not serious, depends on if that's something expensive or not. And the tradition principle is, if you steal a person one day income, that's considered serious. So $5 for a rich person is not one day income. But for beggar, it will be quite likely it might exceed the one day income. And then
would that be like a drug dealer sells drugs to a person, this person into a different person, this person dies, then that's more serious then, right? Because that person died from you selling the drugs, but the other one is just a sin.
I would say both are serious sin, right?
Yeah.
Even among the serious sin, there can be different degree of seriousness. That's true. So some people, you know, some people, they are addicted to watching bad stuff on the internet. Let's say that's a problem. Let's say there is a man who, out of human weakness, sin against the sixth commandment by watching bad stuff on the internet. Okay, that's bad. Out of human weakness, it's a serious sin, but it's out of human weakness. But let's say that man, after sinning, he thought to himself, anyhow, I have to go to confession anyway. I may sin a few more times before I go to confession. So he sinned a few more times. Now, the few more times that he sinned will be more serious, even though it's the same kind of sin, because it's done not out of weakness, but out of ill will, out of malice. So sin done out of ill will is more serious and more damaging for the soul than sin that done of human weakness. Even though they can be the same type of sin, but one might deserve, one of them is out of weakness, like St. Peter, he sinned, you know, hit the cock crow, Jesus looked at him, he repent, get up immediately, not as harmful for the soul. But like Judas, you know, he sinned out of ill will. It's much more harmful for the soul when it is done out of ill will. And then even though both can be forgiven, but I, you know, firmly believe that the sin done out of ill will deserve way longer time in purgatory than sin that done out of human weakness. So even though they can be both serious sin, but the damage for the soul can be quite different. If the sin does out of ill will, it will be much more damaging for the soul and need much more penance to make up for the sin that might in purgatory. So for stealing too, you know, you steal a simple picture, it's only worth 25 cents actually, because we are ordering 1,500 copies, so actually it's pretty good price. I don't think that's a big sin at all. And then also another important thing is that also, actually, if you take from me, it won't be a sin at all, because actually, what is that is that, if you know, the people who own, the stuff would not mind that you take, you can actually take without asking. If you know for sure, the person won't mind, you know. So this thing belongs to the church and it's given to people, you know, so and then, you know, the pastor doesn't mind, you know, so it's okay. So it's, but you know, but if you steal, now, but one thing you have to understand is that Talking about stealing, just go back to that scenario. If you steal $5 from a rich person, yes, it's a small sin. But let's say if you steal $5,000 from a rich person, that will become a serious sin. Even though the $5,000 doesn't equal to one day income of the rich man. It may be the rich man may earn like $50,000 per day, you know. But $5,000 for a regular person is a big amount. So it's a huge amount, it's a serious matter. Even though for a rich man it can be no big deal. But for the one who steal, it's a big amount. That is a serious matter. Yeah. Okay. So now in here it's mentioned about a practice called general confession in the bottom of 313. General confession means that people they make confession. Let's say people making confession regularly, but when they are going to enter into a big commitment. Let's say they are going to get married, or they are going to get confirmation, or they are going to becoming a priest or becoming a nun. It's good the person will actually repeat all those confessions in the past, and let's say start from the beginning when the person got baptized until up to this point, all the major sin go through them again in the general confession. So general confession is a way to renew your sorrow for past sin. They are forgiven already, but it's when your sorrow is expressed that way, you open up your soul for grace to overcome the effect of those past sin. Because past sin, even though the guilt is forgiven, there's still effect on our soul, like the punishment in purgatory, the demand for penance, or our inclination to commit sin, or we are being weakened. So the effect is help us to obtain grace to get rid of those effect of the sin or to deal with the effect of the sin. So of course, if somebody make a bad confession, the person must confess all those sin again since the last good confession, right? But if some people, they would do it out of devotion, not out of necessity, is that they will make confession from the time of their baptism until now, they can see their life more clearly, you know, their whole life, they can see the pattern, what kind of sin is more prominent, and then the other stage is getting better this area, but the other area become more troublesome, so you can see the pattern, how the whole life goes. And then also, you can also able to express your sorrow for all of them, so that to obtain grace. Okay, so that's called the general confession. Okay, why don't we take a break now, have some snack, and then we'll come back and continue.